would, one more time, back to Luke chapter 24. Luke's chapter number 24, if you would.
We'll look in that passage again and see what the Lord would have to say to us.
Luke chapter number 24. I'm glad when the Lord gives me something, because what excites me about that, I mean, it feeds me, but I know that I can give it to you. And that's what excites me, amen. Just simple truth, simple thing we've been trying to preach on, a burning heart. It's the need of the hour and the need of the church. And I've said this before. I know people look at me a little bit strange, you know, being a preacher for, you know, 33 years. But I spent most of my time, Brother Webb, is spent trying to keep my heart where it needs to be. Does anybody else have that problem? I mean, yeah, me. I'm talking about me. Most of my attention is on me trying to keep my heart where it needs to be. And you know, your spiritual life is so flimsy, fickle. Meaning by that, that just the slightest choice in the wrong direction puts a big dent in your spiritual life. You know? Just like these new modern cars, they look okay. But I mean, if a gnat hits them, it just about tears the fenders off of them. You know, there's just not much to them. And that's the way I feel like with my spiritual life. Not my salvation, but my spiritual life. I feel like sometimes I can be here and boy, almost nothing. And then, boom, I'm here. You know, and then I'm climbing back up to there, you know, kicking myself. You know, but anyway, I just thought I'd be transparent there for a second. Luke 24. I don't think it'd hurt her feelings to read it again. Hurt your feelings, would it? Let's read again. Verse 13. Yes, sir, Brother James. How's that? Yes, sir. Luke 24, verse number 13. Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, and answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Notice that's the end of a question mark. They began to question God. They were talking to Jesus, who is God. Remember what that question mark is. Turn it upside down. It's a hook. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. and he went in to tarry with them. And those verses there shows that that's where they lived. They actually went home, those two on the road to Emmaus. And that he went in to tarry with them. Verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, them and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now in Jesus' name to help us in the service tonight. Lord, this is a golden opportunity for us to hear from you and for us to honor you, to praise you, and have our thoughts centered on you. Lord, we pray that you will captivate our attention tonight, speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm confident that there are somebody here tonight that's unsaved, that needs to be born again. That's one heartbeat away from hell, one blink of the eye, one step. They're here today, and they may be in eternity by tonight. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will alert them and alarm their heart, stir them about that all-important matter of being born again, being saved by the grace of God. Lord, I pray now that you'd help us, we your people, that you'd stir our hearts, O Lord, because, Lord, it's such an important matter that our hearts be right. Lord, I pray your will to be done now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you so much again for standing with us. Keep your Bibles open there if you would, and let's see what God would have to say to us tonight from his word. I've been trying to preach this morning, I think, made message number two or part number two of the message on a burning heart. I was sitting in a service and God just spoke to my heart and impressed my heart about just the simple question, is our heart on fire? Is our heart burning with him and for him? Now that seems very simple, doesn't it? But you know there are people that are sitting in church services, maybe even some here tonight. They don't have a clue what you're talking about when you're talking about your heart burning for the Lord and burning with the Lord. They've never had that. They've never experienced that. I would not trust a salvation that did not affect my heart. Could I look at it this way, and it's just a simple thought on my mind, that if it don't affect your heart, how can it possibly affect heaven for you? How could it possibly do anything in heaven when it's not even working much in your heart? That makes good sense, don't it? Thank you, Lord, for that thought. But anyway, we're looking at a burning heart, and there's a lot of things that we could say, and we want to just go right on down into the message. We refreshed our heart again this morning about the cold heart and the dangers of that and the various things that comes into your life, and none of them are good. You remember those five things we mentioned? I believe it was five. None of them are good. There's nothing good associated with your heart getting cold. Amen. Nothing good is going to happen. You're not going to go in a good direction. You're going to be going in everything about it is going to be bad when your heart is cold. Amen. Because your heart influences your life. Remember what Proverbs 4:23 says? Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we'll be looking at that verse again in the near future. The Lord soon give me another message on the heart and be coming out of that passage of Scripture in the near future, Lord willing, as he leads, of course. But then we talked about, or started talking about this morning, the burning heart, where they testified in verse number 32, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. This morning we talked about the grace, and man, I'm telling you, that has fed me all day. That has stirred my heart all day, the grace for a burning heart. To have your hearts burning for the Lord involves the grace of God. As I was traveling up the road today to go make a hospital visit, I was praying and just meditating some more on the message. And you know, I've heard people say this, and a lot of people feels that they're right in saying it. Preacher, I don't deserve to get right. Talk about the grace behind a burning heart, the grace for a burning heart. And you know what grace is? The unmerited favor, the undeserved favor. There are people that feel that I don't deserve to get right with God. You know, more or less, they're putting themselves into self-judgment. You know, as long as I'm in this shape, I'm being punished. I'm being punished for my sin. And I don't deserve to get right with God. Boy, the Lord give me this little old thought. I'm telling you, it blessed me. You're not to get right because you deserve it. You're to get right with God because He deserves it. Boy, isn't that good? Man, that fired me up right there. We need to make a move to get right with Him because He is worthy and He deserves it. Amen? Because when you're right with the Lord, He gets honor from your life. And when you're not right with the Lord, then of course, there's nothing good that comes from it. Amen? But then we talked about the grace for a burning heart. Number two, let's deal with the giving of a burning heart. The giving of a burning heart. And that's simply shown in this passage that before they got their hearts burning, it indicates their heart was cold. How do you get a burning heart? What gives you a burning heart? Well, I looked in this passage of Scripture for the answer, and I found three or four things that are components for your heart being on fire for the Lord. And the first one is, and by the way, let me just say, and I'm glad that I can say this, if your heart's cold tonight, you can get it on fire again. Amen. Praise His holy name for that. I'm a living testimony for that. And my heart's been cold many times, and God has helped me. God has rekindled the fire in my heart time and again. Amen. But I found out, I believe it's true, that it's much easier to try to stay on fire than it is to try to get on fire. It's a lot easier to try to stay out of the ditch than it is to try to get out of the ditch when you're in it. It's a lot easier to avoid the pits of life than it is to try to climb out of the pit. Amen. It's a lot easier to try to retain ground than it is to try to obtain lost ground. Amen. But I just got good news for you that even as a disciple of the Lord, no matter where you've been with the Lord and how far you've been with the Lord, yes, your heart can get cold. That's the human side. That's the human possibility. But I want you to know there's a divine possibility, and that is that God can help you. Amen. Boy, if God, listen, I thought about that preaching on the grace this morning, that unmerited favor. Oh, if Jesus hadn't have took the initiative, if Jesus hadn't have come to where they were, amen, you know what would have happened? They would have went right back to the house and their life would have continued to unravel. Their life would have continued to have spiraled downward and further away. And the Lord knows that, even about us, that if He leaves us alone, oh, no telling where we'll wind up. No telling what decisions we'll make. No telling what choices we'll take and what directions we'll go in. He knows that. He said, I need to move quick. I need to move quick and deal with them. Boy, that's good, ain't it? Man, alive. Amen. Well, anyway, that's helping me. But the first thing I want you to notice that gives a burning heart, number one, is the communication of His speech. They themselves testified there in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while He did what? While He talked with us by the way. Amen. Now, they didn't know who he was. He made sure there in the earlier verses there, verse 16, that their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He did not, listen to this, he did not want them to be stirred up by a visible presence. He didn't want them to be stirred by sight. Amen. That's the reason he held their eyes, but he left their ears open, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. But there is the communication of his speech. And that is, he simply began to talk to them. Amen. Does that need explanation? Have you had a word from the Lord? Have you had God to speak to you? Maybe it's riding down the road. Maybe it's in a time that you weren't really talking to him even. They weren't talking. They weren't interested in talking to him. They'd give up on him. They thought he had been killed, you know, and that was the end of the story. And all of their expectations had went down the tubes. Amen. They was filled with hopelessness and despair. Oh, my. But the Bible said this. Listen, you're talking about grace. Listen to this. And they were walking and they were talking, communing together, reasoning of themselves together. And boy, I like this last part of verse 15. And Jesus himself drew near. They weren't trying to draw near. They was getting further away every step. But Jesus drew near, and I like this, and he went with them. Amen. Only a gracious Lord would do that. Amen. And he went with them. But he began to speak to them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked? While he talked. Get that. While he talked. Not before, not even really after, but really while he talked. They said, there's something going on in here. Boy, we need God to speak to us, church, individually and church collectively. We need God to speak to us. How long's it been? Don't answer out loud, but in your heart. How long's it been since God spoke to you? How long's it been? Can you recall how long it's been since God talked with you? God spoke to you. And if that needs definition in your heart, you probably hadn't had a whole lot of communication with God. I can't explain it, but I know this. You'll know when it happens. When God speaks to you. Amen. Oh, it won't be an audible voice as you're hearing me. It'll be much louder than that. It'll be much clearer than that. God speaks in your heart. God speaks to your spirit. But they said that our hearts burned within us while he spake with us, while he talked with us by the way. Isn't that good? So there is the first component of the giving of a burning heart, is there is communication of his speech. Look at this. Even while the choir was singing, this stirred my heart. Turn back and look in verse 14. Look at verse 14 and 15. Note these two statements. And they talked together. Verse 15, and while they communed together. That is, he and his wife, Cleopas and his wife. And they were, both of them were discouraged. Both of them were down. And they began to talk together, and they began to commune together. You know, sadness loves company. Amen. Negative people loves to be around negative people. And we find here that they were talking together. That was their focus, back and forth. They were talking together. But then things change. When Jesus drew near and went with them, verse number 15, verse 17, watch this, and I got it circled. And he said unto them. Glory to God, isn't that good? And he said unto them. What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk in or sad? Look down in verse 19. And he said unto them. I like that, don't you? Verse number 25. Then he said unto them. Well, I'm glad to report to you that we have and serve a God of communication. I'm glad he does that. Amen. Boy, we need God to speak to us, don't we? Amen. We'll continue on in our coldness if he doesn't speak to us. Amen. All right, number two, write it down if you would. Not only, and by the way, when he began his communication with them, you know what? They were really blaming him for the condition they were in. Have you ever seen that? That didn't really stuck out to me till this morning. They were really blaming him. What's wrong with you? What manner of communications are these that you have? What things are you talking about? And they went right in to saying, well, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, he is a prophet, mighty in word and deed, and he's been killed. And you know what they were doing? They were blaming their sadness. They were blaming all of that on him. Amen? You know that's what complaining does? Hello, Lord. Oh, help us. That's what complaining is. That's what murmuring is. We're blaming God. Isn't that right? Lord, help us. Anyway, the communication of his speech. Number two, the second component of giving of a burning heart is the confrontation of his scripture. Look at it in verse number 20. Look at it right here, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, speaking about the word of God. Speaking about the word of God. Do you see that? Hearts believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered his glory? And he began at Moses. That's the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis through Deuteronomy. Moses, the author of that, or the penman of that. And he began at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. I'm talking about the first component was the communication of his speech. The second one was the confrontation of his scripture. Buddy, this book right here will get in your face. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. Look at, they said in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Amen. You think the devil knows that? No doubt he does. That's why there's such an effort on his part to keep you out of this book and to keep this book out of you is because he knows the power of this book and God using his word to challenge you, to stir you, and to cause spiritual heartburn. Hey, man, that's right, isn't it? Oh, my soul. I asked you earlier on that first point, how long has it been since God talked to you? I'm talking about that personal word, just talk to you. But how long has it been, secondly, with this second one, how long has it been since God spoke to you through the Word? God spoke to you through the Word. A verse of Scripture come alive to your heart, and your heart come alive to that verse of Scripture. Amen? You think Jesus was just joking when he quoted there in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, which is the physical life, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the spiritual life. My physical life don't feed on the Word of God. My physical life feeds on beans and taters and cornbread and things like that. Come on now. Amen. Yours does. Your physical don't feed on the spiritual. Nor do your spiritual feed on the physical. Your spiritual man feeds on the Word of God. Amen. How can you have spirit your heart burning if God is not talking to you? How can you have spiritual heartburn, my friend, if the Word of God does not say anything to you? We need a Bible revival. Amen. That's what we need. A Bible revival. And most churches are not interested in that. They're not interested in that. I turned the radio on today and it led to a supposedly Christian station, local, coming back from the hospital. I'm telling you, if I had to listen to what they had on there, if I had to listen to that over 30 minutes, I'd be thoroughly depressed. They had them 7-Eleven songs. That's what I call it. It's got seven words, and they repeat it 1,400 times. You know what that's for? That's not to drive home a message. That is to drive up your emotions and get you emotionally excited. That's what that's for. They're not interested in preaching. They're interested in the thump and bump and getting you all fired up emotionally. And most churches live on that. Because you don't have to be spiritual to be emotional. Write that one down. You don't have to be spiritual to be emotional. Amen. Amen. You can be 100 miles from God, not even saved, amen, and cry over a sad movie. You can watch Old Yaller and shed a few tears. Come on now. Or Where the Red Fern Grows, them two coon dogs dying. That's bad. Son, that's a tearjerker. That's a tearjerker right there. Come on, man. I watched that thing years ago. Blake still got it, I think. We watched that. I want to go get me a coon dog. I don't even like coon hunting, Brother Ron. I watch that. I want to go get me a red bone. Why? Humanly, I'm emotional. You are. Amen. You cry over sad things, laugh over funny things. Why? You're emotional. But you cannot be strong spiritually when your emotional side is what you focus on. In fact, hello, Lord, help me, Jesus. In fact, when you, listen, and I can give you names, but I'm not going to. But when churches focus on the emotional, they are carnal. When churches, I'm talking about churches that I know, churches that I even have preached in, listen, when their main calling card is emotionalism, And the shouting, and I'm all for it. You know I'm all for it. I do my part, and I promote it. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be spiritual to shout. I don't know why I'm on this, but you don't have to be spiritual. Now listen, don't you go out here and say, Preacher Rackley's throwing water on us. We ain't going to shout no more. You know better than that. But you don't have to be spiritual to shout. All you have to do is go to a Cherokee ball game to find that out. That crowd that wouldn't burp in a church, they're shouting their goozle out down there for Johnny to score a touchdown. Come on now. That's right. Y'all got a problem with that? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They wouldn't say amen if Jesus showed up. But listen, when they get the Chiefs sound on the field, it's on. It's on. You don't have to be spiritual. Go to a ball stadium, and I've been here 21 years. I've never been to one. I'm not against it. I just never have went. But man, that crowd, they go crazy. Blake's been, and he videoed. What was that thing you videoed? The last play of the last minute or something, and Tennessee was on that just right there on the goal line, and I mean that place went erupt. I mean, you could not hear nothing. And Blake was even doing his part of it. Because he was holding his cell phone videoing. And, of course, you know, that's self-convicting. I mean, he's the one screaming and whistling and carrying on. Feel anything back there, Blake? I don't know how I got on that. Lord, help us. Amen. But communication of his speech stir up and give you a burning fire, a burning heart. The confrontation of his scripture. You know what Jesus said? He said, you're a fool. You're fools. In verse number 25, you said, that's not nice. I think the Lord can talk every how he wants to. Amen. I mean, he called them fools. You know what that means? You are unintelligent. You know what he was saying by that term? You know what the problem are that you're having here, and why you're defeated, and why you're depressed, and why you've left the will of God, and why you're going home? He said it's because of ignorance. Fools. Unintelligent. Well, he went on to say here, you're not only fools and slow of heart to do what? Believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? Beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them all the things concerning himself. Listen, you know what he's doing? He was telling them the reason you've got these problems is you don't believe the book. You've not been in the Word of God. You've not been in the Word of God. You're ignorant concerning the Word of God. Paul, how many times did he say throughout his writings, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Don't take me wrong now, but our churches are suffering from ignorant brethren. Amen. Have you not read? How many times did that come out in the New Testament? Have you not read? Have you not read? The main word in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, is the word fulfill. Making reference to an Old Testament scripture that had been fulfilled with Christ. Amen. You know what? The truth is, come on now, we might as well just drop a hammer on us all right now. I wrote it down today. They had a sight problem. They didn't even know it was him. They had a sight problem. They had a speech problem. All they was doing, talking as sad and down in the dumps and talking in past tense, talking in negative. Come on, Baptist Church. They had a sight problem. They had a speech problem. They had a sadness problem. They had a straying problem. And it was all out of one thing. They had a scripture problem. Jesus nailed their hide with the Word of God, and he said, right here's the reason you're sad. You've been looking at your circumstance through your eyes instead of through God's eyes. The reason you're all down in the dumps over Jesus dying and was buried, you're looking at that. Oh, come on now. You're looking at that through the physical eyes. You're looking at that from a human perspective. He said, I want you to know when they was driving them nails in his hand and when they was driving the nails in his feet and they pierced his side and they put the crown of thorns on him, that I want you to know there was a divine plan behind that going on. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered his glory? Boy, isn't that the truth? We're sad. We get all down in the dumps. Why? We look at situations from a human perspective, from human vision, excluding the scriptures, excluding the Word of God. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm still talking about the confrontation of his scripture. They said our hearts burned as he opened. A closed Bible will help nobody. He opened and expounded the Word of God to them. And buddy, the result was that their hearts was on fire. Man, we need preaching, don't we? Amen. Well, have you ever noticed folks go out of church and we had a service tonight. Didn't have no preaching. You ever notice that, brother? Amen. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God chose the foolishness of singing or whatever to say, said preaching. But we never go out of here and say, man, we had a great service. Man, you should have been there. We had Preacher Rackley preached an hour. He sat down. Brother Fultz got up and preached an hour. And he sat down. Brother Trav preached an hour. Brother Craig preached another hour. Brother Pridmore preached another hour. Man, we didn't even go to lunch. We went straight from morning service right into the 7 o'clock service. Man, you ought to have been there. Man, we had a good service. No, that would have been the talk of the town. You go to that church up there, you better take a pillow and you better bag a lunch. Amen. Woo! He said, you're fools. You're unintelligent. You're suffering from an ignorance of the Word of God, not knowing. How can you possibly know what's in this book when it's like this? Brother, the way of doing this right here is not spiritual. You can carry the Word of God, haul it around in the back window of your car till the pages. Have you ever seen that? I've seen covers, Bibles covers, folded up plumb like that where the heat has just dried them out and warped them. That's terrible. Brother, I don't know why I'm on all this. I'm having a good time. You know, Brother Rob, you know how long I've had this book right here? I have glued it. I have taped it. It's coming apart. I've had this ever since 1981. No, 80. What was it, honey? You got it for me when you was chasing me. 83. I've been saved 2 years. My wife bought this for me to win my heart. I take care of it. That's been a long time. I'm leaving the car. I never have to ask, honey, where's my Bible at? Never. I know where my Bible is at all times. Amen. I carry it around. Listen, I don't preach. Why am I telling you all this? I carry it around in a Bible cover to keep it good, to keep everything together. Of course, I got everything in the book in it. I take care of my Bible. I tell you what I'm hoping. I don't know why I'm telling you this. It scared me a little bit. Just kidding. I'm hoping I can preach out of this Bible right here till I die. That's right. And then I want Blake to have it. Be able to. Give him a wore out Bible. Wouldn't that be a treasure? Hallelujah. Anyway, the word of the scripture, the confrontation of his scripture, he said, you're slow. You're fools, you're slow. He opened the word of God. He dealt with them. The Bible said open rebukes better than secret love. Amen. That's right. Amen. Then thirdly, write it down, and this will be all on that point. The giving of a burning heart. The communication of his speech, the confrontation of his scripture, and thirdly, there is the manifestation or revelation of himself. He revealed himself there in their home. He revealed himself in their home there in verse number 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, brake and gave to them. And the Bible said, and their eyes were opened and they knew him. You know what their hearts got to burning with, Brother Carroll? His manifestation. He revealed himself to them. Now, as I mentioned earlier, though, that wasn't the first thing. He wanted them to be stirred by his voice and by his word. Amen. Because it takes faith to do that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But then after they were stirred in their heart with his word and with his speech, then he reveals himself to them. Amen. And I wonder if it's still in that order, Brother Fultz. I wonder if God's really not going to manifest himself to people until they're stirred by the Word of God. I wonder if God's really not going to manifest, reveal himself until there is a stirring of people in response to him, his voice and to his word. All right, let me give you this and I'll be done. Write it down. Number one, we talked about the grace for a burning heart. Secondly, the giving of a burning heart. Then thirdly, there's the going of a burning heart. The going of a burning heart. When your heart's on fire, inactivity will not be a description of yours. When you're on fire for the Lord and your heart's on fire, notice this. Soon as they testified their hearts was on fire, verse 32, as he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, verse 33 said, and they rose up the same hour and returned returned to Jerusalem. You see that? The going of a burning heart. Boy, to get you back where you need to be, you just need your heart to get on fire. Write these three things down and we're done with this message. Number one, talking about the going, what's involved in the going of a burning heart. Number one, the restoration, inwardly. Their restoration inwardly. They were restored. They were restored inwardly. Amen. The burning heart was restored. They got it again. Remember, we've already dealt with that in the message earlier, even tonight, how that you can get your heart back on fire again. Amen. But theirs was restored. The cold heart is not permanent. A burning heart is not permanent. Amen. The choice is yours. If you want your heart to be cold towards spiritual things, you can have that. If you want your heart to be on fire towards spiritual things, you can have that as well. So write it down. There was restoration inwardly. Number two, there rose up hastily. There was restoration inwardly, then they rose up hastily. The Bible said they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now watch this. Boy, this is good right here. I just saw this. This is another proof text that they were not stirred with what they saw, but they were stirred with what they heard. Because when Jesus revealed himself in verse 31, their hearts was burning within them in verse 32. Jesus vanished out of their sight. But they weren't looking for him. They weren't looking. Where'd he go? Jesus, where'd you go? Woo! No, the Bible said there in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Listen, they didn't have his bodily presence, but they had his word, and they was going to carry the word. And they went back to where the 11 was gathered. They walked in before they could say anything. That crowd said, "Hey, Peter saw the Lord. He's alive." And they said, "Hey, let us testify what happened to us. By the way, the living Savior talked with us in the way. Our hearts got on fire. Amen. He vanished. And we've come to tell you, he's alive. We saw the Lord." And while Peter and them was shouting back and forth, "He's alive. He's alive. He's alive." And then verse number 36, Jesus himself stood in the midst. Wouldn't you like to have been in that room that day? Just a little foretaste. When Jesus revealed himself to his those body of believers, maybe that's a little foretaste of what it's going to be like when Jesus splits the eastern sky. Hallelujah. When Jesus opened, listen, when Jesus splits the sky, and when Jesus comes in the rapture of the church, only those that are saved are going to see him at that point. Only those that are born again are going to see him. And we'll go to meet him in the clouds. Amen. In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Can you imagine what's going to be that day when we see him? Man, alive. And then 7 years later, at the end of the tribulation, Jesus is literally coming back to this earth. He's going to put his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And the Bible said every eye is going to see him. Man. And with our technology we've got today, that will be an easy accomplishment. Yeah. And of course, as big as he is. I mean, he don't need internet to do it, though he may very possibly use that. He doesn't need a satellite, though he very may possibly use that. But as big as he is and as bright as he is, all he has to do is just come. And the Bible said he's so big he inhabits eternity. He'd just fill up our universe. He'll just fill up our universe with himself. And as the world rotates and evolves, there it is. Wow. The glory of God. Amen. But listen, the burning heart that gives a restoration inwardly, they rose up hastily. A revival will cause you to return. And then thirdly, last, they returned jubilantly. They returned, meaning they went back to where the will of God is. They went back to from where they left the will of God. You know where you're going to get help tonight? You know where you're going to get help? You know where you're going to find your joy? Now this is deep now. This is as deep as I can get it. You know where you're going to find your joy? Right where you lost it. Backtrack. Don't try to improvise and substitute and come up with something else. Backtrack. Go back. Go backwards. Amen. You got out of the will of God? Start backtracking. And you, as you deal with things and you, amen, make wrongs right, you'll find somewhere along the way, you'll find your joy. Amen. Jesus worked in their life and they returned jubilantly. They went back to the will of God. Amen. And you know what? I don't find where they ever got down anymore. I never find where they got defeated anymore. Why? They had an encounter with the resurrected Christ. Thank God, Brother Bob. I'm glad he's alive, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I'm glad there's a better day coming. Amen. I went up there today and saw Miss Hawkins, Brother Harold Hawkins, his wife. She's fixing to make the crossing. And I sat there by her bedside, and I always call her Queen. And I was talking to her and stuff. And man, you know what? She is so ready to go. Wanting a new body, Brother Bob. No body with no pain, no heartache. Amen. Or God's people can leave out of here with joy. God's people have hope. Thank God we're looking for a better time, a better land, a better life. Amen. We're leaving here. Yeah, I know that upsets some people in church, but we are leaving here. Rapture equals removal. Yeah. Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. Well, I want to tell the devil, did you hear that? In case you're anywhere around listening, did you hear that? I'm leaving. You can have this place. Yeah. Thank God. Boy, we need our hearts burning. Hallelujah. We need our hearts burning. Amen. They restored, had a restoration inwardly. They rose up hastily and they returned jubilantly back and got back in the will of God and fired up and excited. The way this story started out and the way it ended, don't even hardly look like the same people, does it? Jesus makes all the difference. Let's all stand.